Excuse me. I ask you to stand in reverence for God's holy word. If you can't stand, just put your hand over your heart. In the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter, beginning with the first verse, the word of the Most Holy God says this: "Now the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, 'This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable: Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." That is where we're going to end. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Common wisdom tells us that we are supposed to avoid the company of those who are of ill repute, let's say. From the time we're youngsters, our parents want us to hang around with, quote, the good people, right? You don't want your kids hanging around with the kids that are breaking windows, or the kids that are doing drugs, or those kids that are doing all of those things that will lead your child, you fear, down the wrong path. So we tell them from the beginning, stay with the good people. They get this quote from Euripides. I thought my mother came up with it. Every man is like the company he is wont to keep. And that's common wisdom, right? Tell me what company you keep, and I will tell you what you are. Miguel de Cervantes. For those of you who don't recognize the name, he's the one that wrote Don Quixote. Common wisdom. Associate yourself with men of good quality if you esteem your own reputation. For 'tis better to be alone than in bad company. One of our founding fathers, George Washington. Therefore, we really shouldn't be that shocked when the scribes and the Pharisees were complaining that Jesus was associating with sinners and villains. Because if you are known by the company you keep, Jesus was claiming to be righteous. He was reputed to be righteous. He was talking about the love of God. He was claiming authority under that name. He was teaching the people, but he was hanging around with the wrong crowd. Now, he wasn't just hanging around with the wrong crowd, but he actually welcomed people that everybody else would have wanted to stay away from. Just like their mama said. People who were willfully breaking God's laws and God's commandments. People who were villains, who were preying on others. He was welcoming them to the table he was eating at, which at that time was as close an intimacy as you could have asked for among friends. You didn't eat with people that weren't your friends. So he was claiming these persons to be his friends, and the scribes and the Pharisees didn't get that. I got news for you people. We don't get it either. We don't get it either. People start hanging around with that wrong crowd. We start worrying about them. You don't want to be with those people. So Jesus tells them a parable, which at first makes no sense at all. I mean, let's just, you know, he said, why are you hanging with the bad people? And he says, let me tell you about this sheep. Okay? Once there was a sheep. There was a shepherd that had 99 sheep, and one of them was lost. Now, again, common wisdom says the wilderness is a bad place. And I have my 99 here where together we are safe. Together we have more comfort. Together we have belonging. And common sense says be content with the 99 because, let's face it, only one was lost. You know, what is it we say? A bird in the hand is worth two in a bush. Just be happy with what you've got. We've got 99. Enjoy being together. Have fun. Everybody's got enough to eat. Everybody's got shelter. Everybody's protected and safe. Let's just stick with the 99. It's only one. And besides that, you know, that lost sheep, it's its own fault. It ain't here. You know, nobody plucked up that sheep and tossed it somewhere else. That sheep is lost because of its own fault. Now, the sheep wasn't malicious. Sheep are just, by definition, stupid. You know, when we are called the flock, it is really not this great big compliment because sheep are dumb as rocks. And they keep their little heads down and they nibble on these little tufts of grass and they see a tuft over there that looks better and they wander that way and they see a tuft over here that looks better and they wander that way and they wander and wander and wander and all of a sudden, not really all of a sudden, all of a sudden they realize, where is everybody? Well, there's still grass, and they just munch along. Because sheep are careless. Careless in the very sense of that word. They don't care. They're just following from one little pleasure spot to another little pleasure spot to another. This looks good over here, and that looks good over there. And they just wander away. So why not stick with the 99? It's that sheep's own fault. What's more, the sheep didn't look up and say, where is my shepherd? The sheep didn't look up and say, you know, I need to find my shepherd. And start trotting about looking for the shepherd. Mm-mm. By happenstance, the sheep, that one little lost sheep might have come upon the herd once again. But out there in the wilderness, it's dangerous, particularly when you're alone. Very dangerous. What were the chances that that sheep had of ever making it safely home? Not much. So that shepherd risk the 99, literally risk what he had to go after the one. He left the good and the productive and the obedient to seek that which was imperfect, bad, or a troublemaker. He risked everything he had for the one that he didn't. I want you to stop and think about that. This is no small risk. This is no small risk. A shepherd was out there in the wilderness alone too, you know. Looking for the one that had wandered off. Was it the shepherd's fault that that sheep had wandered off? No. Was it the rest of the sheep's fault that that one wandered off? No. So it could not have been out of a sense of guilt that he went after that. He went after that one sheep because a shepherd loves all the sheep, even the imperfect, troublemaking sheep. So he leaves the rest in the wilderness to go after the one. That amazes me. I want you to stop and think about it. I looked it up this morning because it changes second by second. And I actually sat there and watched it for a while. They have actually a world birth clock, believe it or not. And when I turned that off this morning, we were at 7,263,000,000+ people on the earth. That's a bunch of folk. And if God had possession of 7,263,000,000+, but one missing, he would still go after the one. If you were the only one that was lost, he would come after you. That's love, people. That is risk-taking love. That is unquestioned love. That is a love that doesn't have any strings attached. That's just love. Even if that one is a troublemaker. There's still hope for you, Danny. When the lost one is found, the shepherd rejoices. And then he calls everybody else together to rejoice. You know, when you stop and think about it, we tend to celebrate the big things, don't we? I think part of our problem is we don't celebrate the everyday graces, the everyday blessings. We just sort of take those for granted, don't we? How many, I want to see a show of hands, how many of y'all woke up this morning? Yeah, some hands ain't up. That's what I figured. That's what I figured. Some of you not awake yet. How many of you are sitting here with breath in your body? Okay, everybody's breathing. Some of us not as well as others, but we're breathing. Do you celebrate that? Do you ever just sit and breathe in and exhale and celebrate the life-giving air? Do you ever just sit down with a cold glass of water and celebrate the quenching of a thirst? Do you see your children and your grandchildren? Grandchildren, I think, are sometimes lots easier. But you see those little smiles, and you look at them and go, I love you, and I can give you back. And I mean, celebrate that. There's so many little things that happen every single day, but we wait for something big. You know, when you've got 99 sheep, celebrating the one doesn't seem like all that much, does it? But it says that in heaven, there is more joy over that one than there is over the 99 that didn't wander off. Now, that doesn't mean there's no joy in heaven for those that haven't wandered off. It just says there's more joy when there's restoration. There's something to be said for that. The joy of restoration. The question then comes before us. If we agree with this story, and I've seen a lot of people sitting there nodding, and not all of them, you know, nodding off, but nodding. When you see this story and you hear this story and you know that God is the good shepherd and that the righteous people are the 99 and the one that wanders off is what we would consider a quote unquote lost person. When you stop and think about all that, folks, what will us as the 99 sacrifice to find the one? If the shepherd is willing to risk it all, shouldn't we? If the shepherd is willing to risk the wilderness, put his life on the line for just one, shouldn't we? You know, sometimes we do things that don't have a great return. We put a lot of effort into something and we try to go all out and we do all this and then we say, well, either nobody got saved or, you know, we had this and we invited all these people and yeah, they smiled and said they were coming back, but they didn't. And sometimes we just want to say, oh, well, we'll just hang here with the 99. We can't do that. You never know the good that has been done in this life. I truly believe that. You're not going to know till the day. I had a professor one time that talked about those that we have influenced for the good. And when we get to heaven and you know, and he used this analogy. When we get to heaven and, you know, get our mansion, that on our lawn would be all those people whose lives we've touched. And it was his goal to have no more room on his lawn. Now, using that analogy, I would sure like to not have any more room on my lawn. I think someday we will know a difference that we've made that we had no idea that we made. But not unless we risk it. You know, sometimes we've gone out on a limb and we've been helpful to people, and it turned out that we got used. We got took. It's kind of like, you know, the people with the sign. You know who I'm talking about, the sign people? We'll work for food. We offer them a job. They're not really interested. But they will take cash. If someone asks for help and we give it and we get took, that's on them. If someone needs help and we don't give it, that's on us, people. That's on us. I'd rather get took 99 times out of 100 than to not offer the one the help that they need. And the help that people need is not just monetary. They don't just need their gas bill paid and food in their pantry. They need Jesus Christ. And who is going to offer it if not us? Are we willing to take some risks? Are we willing to go all out? Are we willing to help those that are trying? There's been so many needs that have come up recently, and I'm so proud of you all for helping, like with the Oasis. Praise God for that. And I'm going to ask you again, because something has happened. The Get Real Ministry that Doug Halleck does has suffered a terrible setback. Monies that had been promised to them for their ministry to those with addictions, those monies have been taken away. Not through their fault, it's just the money's not there. It's nobody's fault, it's just the money is not there. The promised money is no longer there. Doug Halleck risked it all. He sold his house, his business, his everything to do this ministry. He came here, he closed on a house here just a month ago with a promised salary that's not there anymore. And a ministry that now has no funds. That has been reaching out to those struggling with addiction in our community. There are members of this church who have been a part of that ministry and are receiving healing help from that ministry. And I told him that I believe that God would lay on the hearts of Kendricks Creek United Methodist Church to do something about it. Now here's my question. You going to do something about it? Are you going to help this man find the lost sheep? Are you going to help him with a program that is changing people's lives? I told him we could. I told him we would. Now I know that you all did not come today prepared for a special offering, and that's okay. Because for this week and the next 2 weeks, we will be taking an offering for the Get Real Ministry. If you want to write a check, write it to the church and just put Get Real in the little memo thing. If all you've got is a dollar to give a dollar. But I think that we need to take a risk. I think we need to sacrifice a little bit to rescue the lost. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.